I see, you know, I always look based on experience and what I know, what's behind the movements, who is trying to make us think what and why, where the truth lies. Maybe you're getting a piece of it, maybe you're getting none of it, maybe you're getting the full truth. But when I look at the news or I look at what's happening, that's the context for me. And I noticed, you know, a lot of narratives going on, including trying to portray those who are advocating free speech or who don't want statues taken down for purely non-racial reasons, but other reasons, as if they are racist. And the net effect of that, or the intended effect, I believe, is that they want people to stop advocating for free speech. There's a movement out there, and they've spoken somewhat publicly about this, who doesn't believe, people who don't believe free speech should be protected if it's offensive speech, which, as you and I know, is the whole point of America and the protection of free speech, is to protect offensive speech, not easy speech.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been such a crazy week with events unfolding. I don't know where to begin, so I'm just going to begin. I am so pissed, I can't see straight right now. Between the events that have unfolded, this is all the product of the last 8 years of the Obama administration coming to fruition. All these statues, they were there all through his presidency. There was no racist problem, not since the 1960s. It was created. It was created by Obama, a race-baiting president. I'm sorry, you can call me a racist, you can call me what you want, but I'm going to call it what it is. And a lot of it has to do with President Obama, period. In fact, anybody that lacks the courage to stand up for what they believe out of fear of being called a racist. And that's part of the alt-left's tactic. Nobody wants to be called a racist. But you know what? I've been called a racist so many times, not because I've said a racial comment or made a disparaging remark, because I didn't agree with somebody's leftist attitude. If they don't like the book I'm reading, you're a racist. If you voted for Trump, you're a racist. You know what? That term is so wore out at this point. Nobody really knows what a racist is. It's equated with a Republican, a conservative, a Trump supporter. God knows. We moved past this. We moved past this a long time ago. But unfortunately, thank you, Mr. Obama. You brought us right back to the 1960s. You fanned those flames, you stirred the coals, and look what's happening now. And I'll tell you what, a week ago I did a show regarding the George Soros, David Brock conspiracy. It's happening. It's unfolding right before our eyes. We don't call it history yet because it's happening right now. And I'll tell you what, the spineless, ballless politicians that have whored themselves to the electorate, they don't have the balls to stand up and confront this crisis head on and take it on because they fear being called a racist or not being elected. I'll tell you what, this Antifa, the Black Lives Matter, the KKK, the neo-Nazis, they're all freaking terrorist groups, all of them. And until we start treating them as such, we are doomed to fail as a nation. There, I've said it. I'm pissed, in case you can't tell. Thanks for tuning in again. This is retired Colonel Jamie Williamson, your host on OPSEC Radio on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm fired up. I'm fired up because I have studied war. I have studied our enemies. Okay? I look back, I've read Mao's Little Red Book. I've read Che Guevara. I've read Rommel's book. I was a political science major. I've read Marx and Engels and the Communist Manifesto. I've read all that. So now what I'm doing, you know, Ho Chi Minh, all that, you're going to fight guerrilla war. You got to learn to think like the enemy. Sun Tzu, all that's good. So right now what I'm reading is David Brock and Democracy Matters and their 49-page manifesto of hate and subversion We're going to post the website for that, and you need to check it out. Nobody took Hitler seriously. He laid it all out in Mein Kampf in the 1930s. He wrote it while he was in prison. Why was everybody so surprised when he started shipping the Jews and the gypsies and political enemies off to concentration camps? Nobody should have been surprised. He told us he was going to do that, but nobody believed him. Now we have the alt-left who has outlined their plan to undermine not just the presidency, not just President Trump, but to undermine our constitutional form of government. They're pissed because their candidate, Hillary Clinton, the most flawed candidate we have in my lifetime, far worse than Richard Nixon, they're pissed because everyone thought it was her birthright to become president, including Mrs. Clinton herself. Well, guess what? The American people, we the people, spoke. And in spite of all the fraudulent votes, in spite of everything, in spite of 90% of the mainstream media being in her back pocket, aside from all the money that came in from donors and influential groups, she was still defeated at the polls because America didn't want a criminal as our president. So now, by hook or by crook, by every means possible, they have launched a very effective and multifaceted strategy to take down the president, to take down his administration, to dissect this country piece by piece and fight him and his agenda at every turn. It doesn't matter whether or not it's good for America. It doesn't matter whether they agree with it or not. The Chuck Schumers, the Pelosi's, the Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the Maxine Waters, oh my God, it goes on and on. Everybody has just vowed to oppose Trump. Even Republicans, oh my God, even Republicans are divided in their own party because Trump has turned over their apple cart. Trump has jacked up their comfy way of life and threatened their corrupt and self-serving existence. And we the people, unless you want to succumb to all the evils of the alt-left and undermining our country, you better get with the program while there's still time. So, as I was saying, a week ago, I did this show. I did a show about the whole George Soros, David Brock, Media Matters or Democracy Matters conspiracy and their strategy of launching a soft coup, essentially. It's a subversive movement, and it's an orchestrated, well-planned, and well-financed movement to undermine not only the president and not only the administration, but our way of life. Now, we have subversion laws on our books, but we don't have the fortitude to enforce them and go after these groups. There is no doubt in my mind that they are undermining and subverting our way of life, our constitutional government, and our rule of law. They are the new domestic terrorists. Antifa is a threat. They are a domestic terror threat, and they need to be treated as such under our rule of law. And they needed to be dealt with harshly, as do the Black Lives Matter. Yeah, you're going to be called a racist. You crack down on Black Lives Matter, but you're going to be called a ballless, spineless bastard of a politician if you let it happen and you do nothing about it. And I'll tell you what, I'll be one to call them out because you're letting it happen. You're letting them destroy our country because you have no spine. You don't have the courage to stand up for what's right. So get over it, man up, find a pair, and stop this bullshit that's going on in our country and destroying our constitutional democracy and our way of life. Because if you let it go on much longer, I'll tell you what's going to happen. We the people, If the rule of law doesn't work, and if our politicians and our government, we had a militia-based constituency back in the 1700s, they took charge. If the rule of law doesn't work, then the people are going to take charge. You want to see anarchy? We've got anarchists in our midst now. You want to see true anarchy? Wait until the people get involved and start taking the law into their own hands and correcting this, because our government and our law fails to do that. We don't want to go down that road, people. And you need to tell the politicians they need to get over it. They need to do their damn jobs and enforce the law. I want you to go and read this 49-page document. You don't have to read it cover to cover. I'm not going to give you the website. We can post it on our site. But just Google. Well, that's another story, is the control of the internet. But Google David Brock and Democracy Matters, and it'll bring it up. You need to read that. You have to understand your enemy in order to defeat your enemy. And make no doubt about it, George Soros, David Brock, and all of the whole Antifa alt-left ilk, they are our enemy. And they need to be defeated. And they will be defeated. But hopefully, they'll be defeated by enforcing the laws that are on our books, by legislation that declares all these groups as domestic terrorists, and they're dealt with under the rule of law. That's what needs to happen. We, the people, need to call our congressmen and our senators and tell them, either you take care of it or we'll take care of it. That's not the way things are done here in America. What we have is a breakdown in our political system because we're too caught up in the BS of partisan politics and self-serving politicians that don't want to do their job because they're more concerned about their reelection, or they're more concerned about being called a racist and being painted by the left, alt-left mainstream media. And they will be, no doubt in my mind, they will be. But you have to have the moral courage to rise above this, assume some leadership, because that's what you were elected for in the first place, and deal with these groups under the rule of law, under the laws that are already on the books. All you need to do are have the stones to enforce them. Now, I've told you I'm a student of history, and I'm a student of warfare as a special forces officer. I love to read. 1984, George Orwell. It wasn't written in 1984. It was written about 1984. A little bit late, but it's happening now. It's happening. The disease of political correctness and newspeak that has inculcated itself into our generations of snowflakes, read it, because it's happening now. Another book I've mentioned is Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky, Barack Obama's Playbook, step by step, play by play of how to undermine. It's a propaganda book. It's effective, and they're using the Rules for Radicals. And then read Democracy Matters. That's the easy one. It's only 49 pages by David Brock. You will understand the organization, the Soros-funded, and there's a lot of other funds. Like anything, follow the money, but that's where it gets tricky. I'd like to see our Department of Justice to begin investigating some of these groups under the subversion laws that are on the books. Hell, Barack Obama hung out with Bernadette Dorn and Ayers. I mean, he's a convicted felon for the violent overthrow of the United States. That guy, President Obama, would not have even gotten an interim security clearance solely based on hanging around with communists, socialists, and convicted felons that have violently tried to overthrow the government of the United States. That is so basic, but oh no, well, you know, somebody might call me a racist if I didn't grant him a security clearance. But nobody cared. Nobody cared where he came from, about his past, things that he had published. Nobody cared. So we are to blame ourselves for that problem. And all the problems that he created, the race baiting, the fanning the flames for 8 years, that's why we have a race problem now. This was almost eradicated back in the 1960s. Sure, were there incidents? Of course there were, and there were tragic incidents. And they're a sad indictment of the human race. You're never going to wipe that out entirely. But as a whole, that was a thing of the past. And we have President Obama, divide and conquer, economic warfare, religious, the war on religion, dividing legal and illegals, and poor people and wealthy people, and any way possible to divide and conquer. And he's managed to do that. And of course, he's had the media in his back pocket. And Mrs. Clinton was going to continue that legacy of division and subversion, but the American people said otherwise. Well, now the American people need to stand up and hold their elected officials accountable to suppressing this subversion that's going on in our very midst. I can't believe this. Of all people, Robert E. Lee. I mean, where does this end? Lee knew before the Civil War even started that slavery as an institution was immoral, unjust. He knew that. He wasn't advocating slavery. He knew that that was condemned to fail. It was his allegiance to his home state of Virginia, seeing the United States as a confederation of independent states. We judge everything through our eyes of the 21st century, and we forget because we haven't studied history and studied the past, and it'll get worse now because, like communists and Nazis, we want and ISIS, we want to eradicate the past. If you fail to recognize our failings as a country and our shortcomings in the past, then we're doomed to repeat those again. And tearing down the statues, should we destroy the Declaration of Independence because it was signed by slaveholders? Good God, give me a freaking break. This is insanity. And to sit back and let it happen, our politicians have to be insane. And they need to stop it. They need to have the courage and the spine to stand up and stop this nonsense before it destroys us. And then we have the mainstream media, which is complicit. Not only do they fan the flames, but they play right into the hands of the alt-left by perpetuating fake news. They don't give you the news. They give you their news. I'm constantly flipping through the stations. I'm listening to the same story, essentially, but it's an entirely different twist. You hear one version on Fox, and then you hear other crazy versions, interpretations like they're mind readers, and it's full of conjecture and speculation on what this guy thought or what she meant, or it's bullshit. It's just nonsense that they're reporting as fact. And it's not the news, they're commentators, but they're reporting their own interpretations as though it were fact. And you, the public, suck it all up because you don't have other sources unless you specifically go out and make a conscientious effort to discover the truth. But I'll tell you what, folks, and that's part of the Democracy Matters strategy. It's all broken down by functional area. You've got these four major groups, and they're all tasked with subverting and undermining things within their own little niche of perversion. One is to malign the opposition. They call it opposition research. Of course, like Fusion GPS, that certainly was in bed with the Russians, certainly was in bed with a disgraced MI6 officer from Great Britain, to conjure up and to invent lies about anybody, about Donald Trump before he was elected president, about President Trump after he was elected. Not only do they want to take down everybody associated with him in his administration, they're also going after any right-wing journalist or moderator, or whether it be internet or network television, cable news, to destroy them, destroy their reputation. And it doesn't matter whether facts don't come into play. That's neither here nor there, because they control the media. And there's another group that they want to put pressure on the sponsors to discontinue their support of particular stations or particular products. Why do you think that we've got all these people leaving the president's business board all at once? The shareholders don't give two craps about politics. It's about the bottom line. And the shareholders, when their bottom line is threatened and their multi-million dollar salaries and their existence as CEOs are threatened, they're going to do what's right for their company, and most of all, they're going to do what's right for them and resign. And then there's Google. Google and Bing. Who controls Bing? NBC, Google, Zuckerberg. All these people, they force down what they don't want you to see. Can you find it? Yeah, you can find it, but it depends on how deep you want to dig. They will distort their facts and figures and statistics, because they control what we see on the internet. They control how fast it pops up. When you Google Hillary Clinton, what comes up? Hillary Clinton presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton criminal. They control all that. It doesn't matter how many hits there's been, they will control what you see. This whole thing is manipulated to control how we think, to control our thoughts, and certainly to control our votes and to control our outrage. And we play into that because we're freaking lemmings. That's why. I just laugh and shake my head when I see these coexist bumper stickers. Coexist. The left are the most intolerant people I've ever met. I'm fairly opinionated. I'm sure that comes as a shock to you. I'm fairly opinionated individual, and I'm pretty vocal about how I feel. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. Del and I have talked in the past about the education boards and grassroots government, everything from within your community and your neighborhood to the school board. They control what's written in the textbooks. Do you, as parents, read your children's textbooks? Probably not. I don't, because my child is a grown adult now. So I don't have access to that. And it's probably just as well, because I'm sure I'd be outraged at their version of history and inculcating this culture. God help generations in the future when we need brave young men and women to stand up and defend this country. We're screwed because we've raised a generation or two of wussy snowflakes that will be incapable of that.
We are one of the fastest growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We stand proudly with the men and women who serve in our armed forces and our law enforcement heroes. Thank you for being part of our family. And we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
This is Jamie Williamson, your host. I'm a retired Special Forces Colonel. I'm the president of OPSECTeam.org. I want you to go to our website. We were created as an organization to give a voice to those who serve currently in the intelligence community and our special operations forces. They all have taken an oath, not to the president, but to defend the Constitution of the United States. So they don't have a voice because they're professional intelligence officers and professional warriors. So we give them a voice, and we stand up against the disclosure, the unauthorized disclosure of classified information. We're all about keeping America safe, people. And there's a lot of ways to do that. It's not just force projection. It's here domestically in our own backyard. And it's giving support to Blue Lives Matter and the police officers and the law enforcement community and the Homeland Security people that protect us here at home, to the intelligence officers, the men and women of the intelligence community that work hard. And we have politicians and journalists that blow this wide open to make a name for themselves. And we're going to call them out and hold them accountable. So please go to our website. It's www.opsecteam.org. And you can see our Facebook page, which is dishonorable disclosures/OPSEC. Please check us out. We'd really be happy if you pass the word through social media, email or Twitter or Facebook or whatever you do. Spread the word. You can sign up for our newsletter. But go to our website, check us out, see what we're all about. If you can make a donation, it would be greatly appreciated because we depend on the public to fund ourselves and to spread the word and keeping America safe. And it's all about you. Ultimately, you are the ones that benefit from this, and to uphold the laws and the Constitution of the United States and to keep America safe. Okay. You know, way back when, after the Gulf War, I had spent about a year deployed between the buildup, the Desert Storm, Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and then provide comfort afterwards. Anyway, after about a year of being deployed, I came back home. All the parades were over. Special Forces didn't come home with everybody else. We were there for quite a while afterwards. I came home and I flew into Boston. I was by myself. There were no parades. And I started to head back to Fort Devens. And what do I run across but in Boston? This is like 1991. I just spent a year deployed. And I saw the freaking KKK marching in Boston carrying American flags and Nazi flags. If you could track down my girlfriend at the time, she can tell you what I did to somebody in an elevator, but we're not going to get into that. I was so disgusted by this display of hatred and anti-Americanism, the antithesis of everything that that American flag stood for and represented. But you know what? They had the right to do that. As repulsive, as repugnant as it was, they had the right to do that. And ironically, I thought of this because I don't know who it was, the KKK or some neo-Nazi movement. They had permits to march in Charlottesville. In order to get a permit, you have to go through all kinds of vetting by the local law enforcement and the municipality. It was, and believe me, I'm not endorsing, I'm not condoning them. I think it's vile and disgusting. However, freedom of speech that I've defended my whole adult life, they had the right to be there. So knowing that they were going to be there, who shows up? Black Lives Matters and Antifa. Antifa doesn't even know what Antifa is all about, except anarchy. That's all they are. They're a bunch of snowflakes that live in their mother's basement. They're never-do-wells. Anyway, they show up and they were just picking a fight, and they got one. And I don't know what is up with Virginia law enforcement, but they failed. There's a girl that is now dead on account of their failure to enforce the law. And this girl, Heather, I forget her last name now, but, you know, she may become a martyr in a sense of a needless death that could have been prevented. And, you know, now there's another march in Boston. There's if this is not quelled, if it is not met head on by law enforcement on the front lines, by the serving officers and the politicians at the state and local levels that control those, you're going to have an incident like Boston. I'm sorry, not Boston, but Baltimore. Look what happened in Baltimore. My God, those people were out of control. And you've got a mayor that did nothing but let it happen. And who was hurt by it? Mostly blacks. That was the ironic thing. It was mostly blacks raising up and destroying the homes and businesses of other blacks. But a black mayor, she let it happen. Now, I'm not getting into race, not getting into politics. My point here is that our politicians have failed us when they corral the police and do not let law enforcement do their job. Then the politicians become a direct threat and a public safety themselves, and they need to be held accountable. If I were that girl's family, I would sue Charlottesville for allowing that violence to happen that killed that girl. And mark my words, if it's not corralled, if it's not dealt with harshly under our rule of law, it will happen again. So we've got the alt-left that we know is going to poke and prod the white supremacists. They're itching for a fight. That's what they want to do. That's what the brown shirt Nazis did in the 1930s. Hitler's brown shirts. It's the same philosophy. And it's the same level of intolerance for anybody that doesn't ascribe to their, God, I don't want to say values, but their sick interpretation of that. So they just play right into the hands of this whole democracy matters conspiracy. They'll provoke them, and they will produce the reaction that they want. And that's where they have the Antifa people. Now, I think the DOJ should investigate that and see who's organizing Antifa, who's funding Antifa, where these people are coming from. They just didn't come out of the woodwork in Charlottesville, Virginia. They came from somewhere. Somebody organized them, and somebody's funding them. I have an idea who it is. I don't know for sure. And then you've got the media and Democracy Matters plan. Anybody who is their political enemy is going to be dealt with through leaks and character assassination. They're going to be called a racist. There were three R's. There were Russia. Well, they've always called Donald Trump a racist. That became the Democratic mantra. And then Russia. And, you know, it's just one thing after another. This is no surprise. I mean, everything that I read in Saul Alinsky's book, I saw Obama. I'm sure that was a dog-eared copy that he had things highlighted and post-it notes, because it all played out during the Obama administration. He was an ardent follower of Saul Alinsky. And now, today, everything that I read in David Brock's Democracy Matters, it's happening according to plan. And it was well planned, and it was well executed, and it's working. And you've got the media that feeds into this and perpetuates their bullshit and puts this out. Is I the other night I'm watching CNN and this guy, he calls himself a reporter, Fareed Zakari. I'm messing up his name. My apologies. But I guess he's gotten into the head of people where he's saying, well, this person thinks this, and he knows that, and he, like, he is the omnipotent presence that knows what these individuals are thinking. And it's all conjecture and speculation on his part. Yet he's making these statements that he thinks and is reporting it as fact. And, you know, this, the news is not the news that I grew up on. And if you, this is one of the most dangerous things that we confront for, we like to think that we're a free people. We're really not, because we don't have that total freedom. Everything now is being controlled by the media. The media is being controlled by special interests, and they're putting pressure on sponsors to fund or defund or pull advertising to shape the news that's put out and to shape the way that we think. And if that doesn't disturb you, it damn well should. We really need a show of courage and fortitude amongst our elected officials, because the strategy of the left is to shame the weak. However they do that, by calling them racists, there were people out there that were just Southerners and the Union soldiers that buried those Confederate soldiers had more respect for those men as their enemy than these people are showing today, trying to dig up the body of Nathan Bedford Forrest. And we're just going to allow that to happen? We're going to allow these statues to be pulled down? I about cried when I saw the Buddhist statues in Bamiyan blown up by ISIS. I'm sorry, not ISIS, Al-Qaeda, or the Taliban, because of their intolerance for another culture, another religion. And then recently, ISIS looting graves, robbing antiquities, funding their sick terrorist goals and their hatred, and spreading their vile hatred, and they're destroying thousands of years of culture that was preserved, and that belongs to all of us, to the world. Yet they're destroying it, and I condemn that. It makes me sick, but it's over there. And now the same thing is happening here in our country. And you know what? We're allowing it to happen. Why? God only knows. I don't know why. But if law enforcement doesn't stop it, the people are going to rise up and stop it. And that's not how things are done in America, and it will result in injury and death. Law enforcement and elected politicians have a responsibility. They have a sacred trust to protect the citizens of the United States, not to protect their own goddamn careers. So another thought I had was this may be the all or nothing last stand, the full concentrated effort on all fronts of the left. Did you notice that all this stuff is just starting to happen in the first 6 months of Trump's presidency? This was planned. This isn't by happenstance, and I wasn't surprised, because you know what? Brock wrote about this. This is part of his plan. And it's happening right before our eyes. It's happening, folks. Now, if they don't succeed, it could have a horrible backlash, and the Democrats could lose all kinds of seats in the House, in the Senate, and gubernatorial elections. It may just have the opposite effect, where finally the American citizenry is so disgusted and so pissed off at the way that the politicians have just abandoned our country to these lawless thugs that they take it into their own hands and solve the problem. And they either do it under the rule of law through a free election, but you know what? They've already done that, and it hasn't worked out real well as far as the left is concerned. So maybe they'll set that option aside and take another course. And we don't want it to go that way. But we need to hold the politicians accountable. We need to enforce the laws and stop this insane BS that's going on in our country. Take our country back. So before I get myself any further worked up, I want to bring on Cheryl Atkison. We've had Cheryl on the show before. She has a new book out. It's called Smear. You can get it at Amazon or from her publisher. Look, we're going to post that online as well. But it just ties right in with this whole character assassination and part of the plan of the alt-left to destroy the Trump presidency and conservative values at every possible term. And I want Cheryl to weigh in on this, so we're going to bring her in.
Well, we're a new breed of talk radio, and with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, with shows like Blue Lives Radio, OPSEC Radio Special Operations, shows that impact your health, like The Misdiagnosed Life, The Dr. Stem Show, and our newest show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
You're listening to retired Special Forces Colonel Jamie Williamson on OPSEC Radio on the America Out Loud Radio Network, and I would like to welcome back my friend and New York Times best-selling author Cheryl Atkison. Cheryl, welcome to the show again.
Thank you for having me.
Always, always. Cheryl, I wanted to bring you on again specifically, one, because your new book, The Smear, is out, and we'll talk about that, but most of all because I've been trying to expose the David Brock memo, which is this insidious manifesto of the alt-left to control how we think. It controls what news gets pushed down and what news we see, and it affects our thoughts and ultimately our votes. And it's this conglomeration of the Soros-backed Crew and ShareBlue and Media Matters and American Bridge that their ultimate goal is to undermine a democratically elected president through, we'll call it, propaganda, because that's what it is.
Well, people don't have to take your word for it. Just look at the words of the people who operate in this universe, and I interviewed them on many sides for the book, The Smear, and they say, you know, it's instructive as to what's happening now, that nothing happens by accident. This is almost a direct quote from someone I spoke to who's a smear operator. He said everything, every image that's put before you, every topic on the news, every image that crosses your path on social media is put there for a reason. In fact, he likened it to a movie. He said it's like scenes in a movie that are well thought out. He said in your daily life, scenes are put there, often by well-funded interests who are putting them there for a reason. You just don't know it.
Take, for example, rural Charlottesville, Virginia. These masked Antifa people just didn't come out of the woodwork from the rural Virginia countryside. They were paid and bussed in. There were signs prepared. This, like I said, nothing happens by happenstance. It's a very well-planned and well-executed operation.
And I see, you know, I always look based on experience and what I know, what's behind the movements, who is trying to make us think what and why. Where the truth lies, maybe you're getting a piece of it, maybe you're getting none of it, maybe you're getting the full truth. But when I look at the news or I look at what's happening, that's the context for me. And I noticed, you know, a lot of narratives going on, including trying to portray those who are advocating free speech or who don't want statues taken down for purely non-racial reasons but other reasons as if they are racist. And the net effect of that, or the intended effect, I believe, is that they want people to stop advocating for free speech. There's a movement out there, and they've spoken somewhat publicly about this, who doesn't believe, people who don't believe free speech should be protected if it's offensive speech, which, as you and I know, is the whole point of America and the protection of free speech, is to protect offensive speech, not easy speech. And we didn't want the government or other people deciding what speech was offensive, because it's very subjective, and you could use it to silence political enemies or anybody. But I think that's exactly the effort that we're seeing today.
And what happens when a fringe group like the KKK or a neo-Nazi, if they're offended by Dr. Martin Luther King, then they would have as much right to pull down statues of King, or they're opening a Pandora's box with this. There's no end to it.
Well, the thing is, they won't, because as you play the substitution game, which I wrote about in my first book, that would not be treated the same way as the tearing down of other statues,
of
at least by the news media and by, you know, the establishment. I ask the question, you know, my personal thought as a journalist is these are local issues. I think local communities should decide and have the right to decide in their communities what statues should be put up and taken down. In general, I don't think revising history, rewriting history, hiding history, changing history fixes anything. In fact, if anything, if you read 1984, which I'm flogging through again, if anything, I think that serves to potentially hurt us. But if you want to say that things should be taken down that are offensive to who, one person, groups of people, how many people constitute someone that should be, you know, a group that should be listened to, I ask the question, you know, Senator Robert Byrd, he was a member of the KKK, an officer with the KKK before he was senator. You didn't hear much about that when he was senator, supported by Hillary Clinton, who eulogized him when he was died as a, you know, a mentor and someone she admired. Practically everything's named after him in West Virginia. Should all of that be taken down? Haven't heard anybody propose that. Now, I don't think it should be. I think the community decides that, but I'm saying if you think historic figures are to be judged by their biggest fault of the time, Robert Byrd was a member of the KKK. And then if you want to say, to be ludicrous, but I think this is equal to what's being done on the other side, the Democratic Party founded the KKK. I think some people might say they're offended by the Democratic Party as supporters of the KKK and history and as people who were opposed to civil rights legislation. So maybe the Democratic Party should be banned or the word Democrat shouldn't be used. Now, that's ridiculous, but I think it's equivalent in some respects to where we're going on the other side.
And I've even heard the NRA described as a hate group by people on the left. And ironically, the NRA was formed to arm blacks in order to defend themselves against the KKK and hate groups. So, I mean, we've come full circle. It's insanity that, and this, the Antifa group, they're nothing but anarchists.
Well, one thing I think we have to remember or be aware of, and it's what you and I have discussed, I really think it's a fairly small group of people, again, plucking the emotions of broader groups of people. We're being played, and a lot of people don't recognize they're sort of falling for it, including some of my friends and colleagues and journalists, that there are forces who profit from the division if they can create it and profit from the end game. Politically and financially. And there's groups, as we know, and they're described in the smear, who do this. They exist for this purpose. They may sound like innocent nonprofits. They may sound like a diverse and broad group of Americans, but it's a relatively small handful of people with multi-billionaires pulling strings behind the scenes and financing the various groups under different names. So, you know, we're just pawns. And I feel like if people on both sides could recognize the division that's being stoked by a relative small group of people is a plan, maybe we could be a little bit more immune to it. Because I go out in America, I go to poor neighborhoods, wealthier neighborhoods, I have friends all over the place, I travel for work. Everywhere I go, there are very few exceptions where people don't get along very well. The races mix well, they work well together, they socialize. I mean, everywhere I go, there's relative harmony, and it's pretty amazing when you think of that, considering how diverse we are and how many people from different places live here in America. But instead, if you look at the news, you would think the opposite, that 95% of America is in chaos and turmoil and hating one another. And that picture is simply not accurate.
It's not, but it was part of the divide and conquer strategy that was painted for 8 years in the last administration that fanned the flames and stoked the coals, and the media sensationalized this. You and I grew up in the 60s when we actually did have race riots, but that was well behind us until the Obama administration, and they created this, you know, we've got fake news and we have fake racism, where it's just been...
You know, in the 50s and 60s, when blacks were fighting for civil rights and whites were helping them fight for civil rights in many cases, and Republicans, you know, I look back at that time and I know there, I read articles as a kid or I heard about race riots and there were some spotty issues in my hometown, but I would consider that time for me. I knew and socialized and mixed with many minorities. Actually, there weren't many Hispanics and Asians really in our community, but there were blacks and white kids at that time. We got along great. We hung out together. We thought each other was cool. We invited each other to parties. I mean, there was great harmony in the 60s and 70s from my experience. I know it wasn't that way everywhere, but I would say the rhetoric I'm hearing today is far worse than what I heard and experienced when I was in the middle of all of that back in the 60s. And that it just strikes me as strange that as far as we've come, that so many steps backward have been taken when I think there was, in general, relative harmony for several decades, with the exception of pockets. There always are pockets on both sides of problems, issues, hate, and racism. That's just going to, we're constantly living with that. But I would still say, looking back, it was a time of relative harmony. It's very sad to see it, you know, puppet masters bringing us backwards.
It is sad, and it's sad that the population are pretty much lemmings, and they just fall into this false narrative. I don't see the racism as it's portrayed in the media. And, you know, I've seen a lot of blacks that have expressed the same sentiments. But again, it was the divide and conquer, the wealthy against the poor, the blacks against the whites, to fragment and tear at the very fiber of this country and what we're about. And it's happening because we're letting it happen.
I agree with you on that. That's why in the smear, I mean, I can't fix problems, of course, that's not my job, but I thought to expose and dissect the groups that do this for a living and actually have interviewed those who operate in that universe, which is pretty amazing. They were quite candid about it. I think it's telling, and I think it helps us examine and question the narratives we see, and that when you see a movement and everybody's sort of on the same page and all the news is reporting the same thing, maybe not what's going on in the world, but the same two or three things over and over, when there are thousands of things they could be talking about, I want people to just ask the question, who wants me to see this? Who wants me to think it, and why? Who might be profiting from it? And I think we become smarter consumers that way.
Knowledge is power, and I hope all of our listeners go out and buy Cheryl's book, The Smear. You can get it on Amazon or who's your publisher, Cheryl?
HarperCollins.
HarperCollins.
You can pretty much, order it anywhere and maybe pick it up at a bookstore if you're hearing it. But I think it's actually, it goes on sale for next to nothing half the time, which is great. So it's on the New York Times bestseller list. Really happy about that. But I hope you buy one or go to the library, check it out, pass it along to a friend. And also I want to say it's written in such a way that you can skip around to the things that interest you. I think the chapter with emails from journalists talking to figures they're supposed to be covering and making unethical arrangements and deals with them is so telling. That's just fascinating to me that we have this email trail. And you can see the names of national journalists who are doing things that, you know, used to not be allowed in journalism. I think that's a fascinating chapter, as well as, you know, dissecting the 2016 campaign. This is not in defense of Trump. Some people mistake this as support of Trump when I criticize the media coverage of him. it's not. It's criticizing the media for not being fair. And there's a lot of that in the end chapters of the book that I think people will find interesting.
Well, I think that that education is important so people will know how they're being played and can guard against that. And when they see something or hear something on the quote-unquote news, they can examine it with a little bit more introspection and not take it at face value. So, Cheryl, I know you've got a busy schedule. I want to thank you for joining us again, and thank you for writing this very educational book. I hope all of our listeners go out and get a copy of The Smear.
Jamie, thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming on again, Cheryl. Bye.